Razor Gillette, the much larger half, the much talkative half of Penn & Teller, here in Las Vegas, Nevada, talking to New York, Chicago, D.C., Seattle, San Francisco, every place. We're talking to the United States of America.
Everybody.
I'm playing the bass on that theme. That's the upright bass. I'm slapping the doghouse. And I'm also playing these snaps right here.
That's live.
These snap my fingers right here. You'll hear, because the music fades out, the snaps will stay the same way. That's how you can tell I'm doing it live.
It's a stunt snapper.
That's Michael Goudeau. That's the
good morning.
That's the lovely and talented Michael Goudeau.
Or.
Sitting across from me.
Lovely or talented.
No, and. You're both. You're both lovely and talented. And he's sitting across from me at the big desk we have covered with vintage nudes.
That's a great desk.
You know, I did a lot for my... I did a lot for our enjoyment here. We have a studio here at my home. We are at the Slammer, and we have this studio room, and there's this desk. Mm-hmm. And the desk that we sit at, that we have our computers on, is covered with this plastic. What's it? Is it a polymer or something?
Some polymer.
Some super polymer. It's the kind that had bars, you know?
Right. And usually it's coins.
Yeah, you can stick coins in it. But I was convinced Colin, the architect here at the Slammer, the guy who built the house, convinced me to sacrifice my decks of girly playing cards.
Right.
For years, I've been collecting these, you know, 40s, 50s, and 60s nude playing cards.
Right. You and every other 12-year-old boy.
Absolutely. And some of them are expensive, you know? Like some of these that you see here that you're sitting here with are like $40 a deck. You go on eBay or something, you know?
Wow.
People collect nuts.
Right.
Whack jobs collect this stuff.
Only we knew any.
And I sacrificed, six decks, seven decks. And I sat out here with my wife. And we had the workmen laid the polymer down,
right.
And we would put the cards in, and they're in a very specific order. If you knew everything about magic and about magic history, the order that these cards are in on the table has a significance. And I also put my favorites up top. So we are sitting here, when we talk to you from Vintage Nude Studio, the reason it's called Vintage Nude Studio is that we are constantly looking at nudes that could be your mother or grandmother.
I just want to say that your head is on my side over here.
Yeah, I put
your little face is poking out from beneath a couple of three of clubs.
There's one. There's a Penn & Teller deck of cards that we sell at the Penn & Teller show that has my face on one. So my wife, in a thing of kindness, just slid that right in this. My face does poke out from among the breasts, which is when I'm at my best. When poking out from among breasts.
Okay.
If you want to call in and talk to us, you know, we're picky about the calls. That's the thing you got to know. 866-313-FREE.
That's right.
866-313-FREE. 3733 is what spells free. Because we're on Free FM.
Whee!
We talk about whatever the hell we want. And,
let's talk about your new trick. I know you put in a new trick
first
last night.
First, I want to tell people that when they call in, tell the cat who answers the phone, who's in New York, what you want to talk about and tell them clearly. Because sometimes we get stuff like this, Bob wants to talk.
Talk about
Or,
Bob.
You know, or Phil wants to know why Teller doesn't talk. We can answer that at some point. But, you know, if you've got an interesting subject you want to get us on, that's cool. And good morning, Lance. We say good morning to Lance.
Good morning, Teller.
Good morning to Teller. Good morning to both of our employers, our bosses. Lance and Teller, the bosses of Penn Jillette and Michael Goudreau. Yep. And how was your show last night, Goudreau?
600 shows in a row without a drop. It's unbelievable.
Really? You're doing very well.
I'm up to 600.
Yeah, very well, yeah. Wow. Okay, let's move on to...
like you're skeptical of that.
Well, it's okay. I just... all I want to know is how your show went last
Mine
night.
Mine was great.
Good, good. Well, then let's...
how was yours?
What?
How was yours?
I'm sorry. Remember your mic was off yesterday? Your mic was off. I'm
a new trick last night.
Having a little trouble hearing you. You saying what?
I think you had a new trick last night. You know, I got a little email
345
from,
pilgrims.
sort of mentions. He said the new trick was great.
On the way to Mecca, 345
and
pilgrims were crushed.
Well, and on the way to the show last night, juggler was crushed is what I've heard. Come on, tell us, man.
We put a new bit in the show.
Yes.
It's a good bit. I mean, on paper, it's a great bit. On paper, it is the most kick-ass bit ever.
Yes.
It's about misdirection.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the title of the bit, is misdirection. And some of the crew guys got cute and made it miss. Misdirection,
right,
M-I-S-S.
Cute?
Not too cute for me. It's called Misdirection, and it's got me in it, and it's got a duck in it, it's got Teller in it, it's got a gorilla in it. It's got everything
you need. What more could you need
for
a trick?
And it's got Georgie, who's our fire eater in the show, stripped down.
Fabulous Georgie.
Stripped down to bra and panties. Mm-hmm. And I picked the bra and panties.
And the girl, I believe.
Yeah, I did. So they're tiny. They're tiny. And she is working her moneymaker. And we have her turn around.
See,
that's part of the misdirection. You're looking over there. We do the sneaky stuff. That's not what misdirection is. And that's the whole idea of the bit. So we have, man, we have like the best crew. I mean, I'm sure you have a fine crew.
Fine crew.
We have the best crew in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are just hot and great. And Zeke in this, Zeke Zabrowski,
yes,
who is one of the directors of Covert Activities, has a big part in this. He's a big important part, some timing stuff
right
to do.
Okay.
And I'm being a little cagey because I don't want to give away the trick.
You want to expose your own tricks.
No, why not? And you know, there's a sound cue and there's a light cue. And there's Georgie's cue, and there's Teller's cue, and there's a duck cue. And they all happen at once. Now, this bit's about 4 or 5 minutes long, and it's a monologue. I set it up, okay? And no one cares. No one in the crew cares what the hell. They're like the audience in this way. They don't care what the hell I say. It's just like, yada, 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 blah, 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 trick. Blah, 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 trick. Blah, 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 trick. That's all. They're all on headsets.
That's all any of us here, by the way.
And they're not paying any attention at all. And I said, I have a sip of tea because I'm so choked up with emotion. So they're all set to go. So when I go in there, I have, you know, my fourth rewrite of the script that I've done with Teller.
Uh-huh.
And I've laid it up. But no one looks at that. They say, what is the cue?
Right.
What is the cue?
Right.
So in this
when
particular...
When you say fish sticks, we throw the fish, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I have a two-word phrase. You know,
right.
It's
fish
actually
sticks.
It's a whole sentence, but a two-word phrase that I say, and when I say that, it is Armageddon. Boom! You know, the whole crew, boom! And it's like, everybody is like, and ready, and on my mark, and go! And when she says go, Bert Bramlett, our stage manager, who as far as I think is not just the best stage manager ever lived, I think she's the best person at any job there's ever been. Right. You've worked with her.
Yes, it's astonishing.
There's nobody, I mean...
She is human Zep.
What's that?
Zep is a stainless steel cleaner that you buy at Home Depot. It's just killer. If everything worked as well as Zep or Bert, the world would be astonishing.
Really, Bert is astonishing. I mean, if you could have Bert as president, vice president, every member of the cabinet, all of the Senate, and have her in every job, you know, every place you ever working, you want Bert in charge. And she's fabulous. So she's sitting there with a headset, and I have to say this phrase. And the reason you're saying fish sticks, and I'm not saying the phrase, because I've forgotten the phrase again. Now, a lesser man would have missed the cue last night, but he would remember. Oh, I think it's simple objective. Simple objective. I have to say to the audience, you have one simple objective, okay? And so when I get to, you know, you have Bert has the mic on, she has the headset on, she goes, he's coming up into the queue, and Mark, this is the first night, let's do it well, gentlemen, ladies, let's go, and it's beautiful, you know, you just, I mean, I'm not imagining this, I didn't hear any of this, I'm on
set. As soon as he says the word, we'll jump, is what they're doing.
Yeah, this is when you hit the explosion, this is when the C4 goes,
right.
The flash.
Release the cast.
This is when Montecore runs out, so I'm on stage, and I've been really hitting it. There's some complicated sentences in this thing, some complicated ideas. And my
job is to talk. You're complaining about the sentences being too complicated.
And I've been working in the afternoon. I mean, when I say I've been working on this a long time, a half hour before I had to leave for rehearsal, I started studying the lines with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks me through it and helps me, and she's terrific. This is not her fault. So I get onto the stage. My wife is in the audience. My wife is on bed rest.
Right.
She's pregnant. But she still comes in because she wants to see and support her husband doing this new trick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
so she's lying in the VIP section, which looks, you know, like Cleopatra-ish. She's lying back there, ready to cheer on her husband while she is barefoot and pregnant in the theater. And I'm rocking, man. The audience is just hanging on my every word.
And the crew.
And
hanging on your every word because they're waiting for a specific word.
Two words.
Two specific words.
Two,
and you don't know what they are.
Certain order.
And you still don't, do you?
I think. I'm going to check this before the show tonight. I think the two words our simple objective. On those two words, things explode.
Right.
Buttons get pushed. People get pushed out of doors.
The cats. The cats are released.
Yeah, it is, you know, it is going to be cataclysmic and beautiful. And one of the things, and this is, I think, in the notes that I wrote in the script, is that everything being in unison is really important.
Really important.
There's no flams. There's no one note after another. This has to be no grace notes, just, you know, the commander on stage in charge, you know. And I'm on stage alone at this
right.
point. So I'm holding the reins. I'm holding this powerful
you
beast.
You are
this
Captain
30
Kirk.
Mule train.
Make the, it the, so.
The Lippistaniel Stallions. I've got all the power. I'm on, you know,
Speak, Ahab.
Red Dawn. I'm on Red Dawn. I have, you know, the props are baptized in blood, you know. And I just can't think of that phrase.
Uh-huh. What is it again?
See. Simple objective.
Simple objective.
So I come up and
I'm
going
to write it down.
You have, and I go, one task. There's one thing you have to do. It's just, well, there's one, you know, there's a lot of things we have to do in our lives, but here is one thing. There's one thing you have to do. And I'm now flop sweating. I've now soaked through my three-piece Zenya suit.
Through the vest and jacket?
Yeah. I'm in a dead panic, and now, you know, because I'm realizing, you know, boy, this should have happened by now.
And what's wrong with those people? Why is my crew so suck?
Well, this is why the crew is so good. Over the headset comes, he's forgotten the line. He has no idea where he is. But the two people that have to lead this off, you know,
Bert.
No.
Not Bert?
Georgie, who has to lead this off. She's the first one to go. She can't be on headset because she's going to run on stage in bra and panties.
Right.
And where
bra, panties, and headset. Well, again, you know.
Sexy. We got clown
I
porn
think you
going.
Should add it.
There's probably headset porn somewhere. You know,
put it on her iPod.
So she's back there, okay? And now this is the first
night.
She's
on iPod. She doesn't have to listen to you.
This is this first night doing this bit, okay?
Yeah.
She's going to run out and get her clothes ripped off.
Right.
You know, in bra. Now, she's worked topless in Vegas, because who hasn't? I've worked topless in Vegas. You have.
Yep.
Everybody's topless in Vegas. So it's not like a big deal that she's going to, you know, show her heavers or something, or her ass is going to be seen. That's not important to her. But it still is the first time on a new bit.
She'd like the trick to go well.
Seems like everybody would. But one person, not enough to learn the two-word phrase. Simple objective. So I'm just repeating myself. One simple task, one idea, one thing you should keep in mind. There's a thing you should keep in mind. And backstage, you know, Teller's in like the gorilla head.
Right.
And because that's the way the gag goes. And George is in front of him.
You're not speaking metaphorically.
No. And everybody is going like, you know, he's repeating himself. Penn is repeating himself. And of course, everybody is confused by Penn repeating himself, except Bert, who's on headset going, he's just forgotten the line.
Go.
Everybody be ready.
Go.
Well,
jump.
She can't go. She can't go because she has to go simultaneously with Georgie, who hasn't got a headset on. So the reason we decided to do this on a cue from Penn and not a cue from Bert, the reason that for a brief moment the reins of the Penn and Teller machine at the Penn and Teller Theater at the Rio Hotel and Casino, the reason that all that power is in my hands is only because Bert
can't. You're the only person everyone can see.
I'm the only person everybody can see in here. Teller, you know, he's got a gorilla head on. He can't do anything. No one can do anything. So it's Georgie back there thinking, how stupid is my boss? So you have this thought process where she says, sounds like he's forgotten the line. But then again, if I go out early, I have blown the whole trick. But then I get to like the fourth time going, the thing, you know, the thing, you know, the thing, the task, the thing, the what's of a heaver, the hungity, the task, the bull. And finally, the cataclysm happens, but not like, boom! The cataclysm happens like, boom! And the trick, because Johnny Thompson, who I've talked about before, is a genius,
right,
the best magic mind in the world, and Teller, Yes. Another fabulous Magic mind.
Although wearing a gorilla head.
They can't help, but they have already helped. I mean, the trip, the prop that Nate Santucci built, Zeke, Georgie, everybody is fabulous.
Uh-huh.
So this one bumbling fool on stage, you know, one monkey don't stop the whole show. That's what happened. So that's how the bit went last night. It was still good. It was still my voice once again cracking with emotion. It was still good. It was a miracle that it was good, but it was good. 866-313-FREE. That's 37733. You can call in if you have something good to say. Say it very succinctly because it's being typed four times in this age of technology, right? The best way we can find out who's on the phone saying what is for, like, three guys to type it in. So you've got to make it very, very clear. My good friend, Lawrence O'Donnell Jr., who used to be senior advisor to Moynihan and is now big honcho writer on the West Wing. Didn't he, win Emmys and stuff?
I think he did.
Yeah. He didn't get robbed. He didn't get robbed by Queer Eye.
Queer Eye.
He actually won. And he's got an op-ed in the L.A. Times, which is okay to talk about because we're not on in L.A. So just reading the op-ed piece would be good. But check it out online because it is, I think, the only time I've ever seen a pro-lobbyist article. He is talking about when he was in government.
It's a hard sell, isn't it?
Well, you know, it isn't. It isn't because lobbyists, you know, I've always thought this, you know, that if you're going to be in a position of government, of course, I've always thought it now that he wrote it up and made it very, very clear.
If only you had typed it yesterday,
exactly.
Huh? Instead of LOD.
But LOD, who's what we call, I'm the only one that calls Lawrence O'Donnell LOD.
Okay.
I'm the only one that gave him that nickname. And he can always tell when one of my dirtbag friends come up to him, because everyone else calls him Lawrence or Mr. O'Donnell. And then a couple of,
respectful of his position.
Right. And a couple of people call him LOD. And I have nicknames for people. I do that. I'm kind of like George Bush. There's a lot of ways in which George Bush and I overlap. George Bush could have very easily forgotten simple objective. Can't you see George Bush waiting with everybody's finger on the nuclear button and saying, I'm the commander in chief. Everybody's going to take my cue, and you listen, Iran, with your nuclear powers, you have one task, you have one thing, and then Bert would be there going, the president has forgotten where he is again. He has no idea what he's doing.
Everyone, please push their buttons.
Take your own cue and destroy the rest of the world. Hit the button, kill them all, pave it, let God sort them out. This is Ben Gillette with one simple objective: to tell you we're in Las Vegas, Nevada, on Free FM with Michael Goudeau, and we are going to be back because that is my simple objective. Take it, Bert. Objective. That's the phrase that...
Go!
Scuttle! Go! Bert, go! 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 Bert, go! Georgie, go! Everybody, go! 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 One simple objective. He said it. Go! Go! It was a nightmare. On stage, knowing that you had all that power, knowing that you had a flashlight full of corroded batteries and you were in the men's room of the Starbucks and they couldn't do anything about it. Why can't you bring a flashlight into Starbucks?
Well, I don't think that was the flashlight specifically that was the problem. It was the assumption that it was not actually a flashlight.
That they assumed it was. And there was some whack job, and I say that with a great deal of affection, of course, as I always do, some whack job on the radio who was talking about after they said...
Yeah, all right, taking down the man.
No.
Not that one?
On the other side, no. Was saying that he believes that they should be able to kill on sight bombers, right?
Right.
So this this is a guy.
The homeless guy with an old flashlight with corroded batteries. Down he goes.
This is the argument. You know, this is why we need to have courts and a good thought-out system. Because when the country gets all nuts, you know, when we become so afraid of everybody and everything that a homeless guy with a flashlight full of corroded batteries can get national attention, that's when you need to have some, everybody has to take a step back, take a deep breath, and just think about the phrase, simple objective and be able to utter that at the right time instead of just blurting it out so that everything happens very quickly. So
fortunately, if it had been your job to have him shot, you would have been going, we should do something about this guy. I think with the gun thing.
With the gun thing. The thing you do with the gun thing.
Point it to
Bert going, he's forgotten the word
shoot. Thank you, Patton.
LOD, Lawrence O'Donnell Jr., who I think is one of my favorite people to talk to in the world, and we're going to have him on the show. He's promised he'll be on the show. There's nobody that it's better to have a conversation with than LOD. He's always got fascinating stuff to say. And once in a while, he'll say it in public. Most of the time, he doesn't give you any. But the idea of defending lobbyists, and this is one of the most personal things he's written, because it mentions his daughter, who's 11 years old, Elizabeth, and terrific. He's one of the reasons it was, I mean, of course, there was a biological imperative to reproduce. also, LOD having such a delightful daughter and a great relationship was one of the inspirations. Mm-hmm. Sure. But read the line from there that you were reading during the break, because this is from LOD's article.
LOD says there aren't enough congressional staffers to keep track of the hundreds of thousands of issues under federal jurisdiction. Good government needs good lobbyists. His point is that they come in with the real data.
Sure, and they've got to.
And they can't lie to you because
there's a lobbyist on the other side who's going to meet you the next day. And LOD was the senior advisor to Moynihan, who was the head of the Finance Committee and Appropriation, everything. So he had to meet all these guys, and you don't have to. It's not all bribes. It's not all sleaziness. And there's this idea that we get rid of all lobbyists, and then the world is okay. And the fact is that the people in charge are not really in charge. As you know, they have senior advisors, and they have a whole staff, and they're all working on this. And it's a really good idea to have the marketplace of ideas. The reason that milk prices don't go through the roof when I don't care about milk is that there's somebody in Las Vegas who shops at one store to another and goes, milk is cheaper here, and buys it there. And that's the way the invisible hand works. All the stuff that I don't care about, someone else is being careful about. And that's why you need lobbyists. And his argument is so much better than the argument I just made. But it's in the LA Times. It's
they
Lawrence
tell you
O'Donnell
something
Jr.
you don't know. Like teaching hospitals need more money for doctor training. You know, those are the examples that he's using.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. And he also points out that when he was in power, and this is kind of he's kind of sneaky the way he says this. When he was in power, the Democrats had no chance of losing the House. And the Republicans are closer. That's why you get these, you know, people taking bribes. Bribes are wrong. You know, that kind of, you know, giving people airplane tickets and doing all of that is wrong. But the idea of a lobbyist taking 15 minutes of someone's time and explaining to them the issue from their point of view, you want an impassioned person on each side to talk to you so you can make some sort of decision for the people. That's what I say. And I only say that because I read LOD's article. And if he had written, LOD is one of the people, and there's a lot of these. Christopher Hitchens.
He's pulling the strings, is he?
Christopher Hitchens is another, and Richard Dawkins is another.
Bob Corn Revere.
Sure. If I'm in a discussion with any of these four people, was it four?
That's four.
Yeah, four. Any of these four people, if I'm in a discussion with any of these four people, and they disagree with me, I do everything I can to get on their side. You know, try to
Rob Pike. You should add Rob Pike to that list.
Well, Rob Pike is five. And Rob Pike, I have to say, with all due respect to the other four, is the top of that list. You know, Rob Pike is probably my closest friend, one of my closest friends, and also is really, really smart. I mean, stupid smart.
Okay, well, he made it possible for your computer to do more than one thing at a time. Is that the guy?
Yeah, he has the patent.
Okay.
We'll mis-explain this if we do, but he has the patent on, like, asynchronous
Windows. We don't know anything about it.
And he works at Google, and he's just a Wile E. Coyote super genius. He had, like, an experiment on the Hubble when he was an undergraduate. You know what I mean? It's stuff like that he does, and whenever he says
and he's hanging out with you.
Yeah. Well, see, people think that if you hang out with porn stars, you're really good at sex, and if you hang out with people like Rob Pike, you're really smart.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, all you have to do is tell the smart guys the stories about the porn stars, and you're covered. You're already there.
They want to hang.
And Rob is amazing because Rob is so articulate, and when he understands something, he truly understands it. You know, he can say stuff that'll blow your mind, like, I don't really understand how a toaster works. And what he means is not that he couldn't build the toaster in the wilderness using just a Swiss Army knife. What he means is he's not sure about the exact subatomic level, how the, how the toast is browned or things.
How do those oxygen molecules fly out of there?
Exactly.
Something very specific.
But Rob knows Rob knows everything. And
what about the you know, the phone number thing is really funny.
Oh, the phone number is the greatest story in the world. I was out in New York. With Rob, and we were at like some very trendy place, like Nell's or something. It was trendy in the 80s or 90s when we were there. And we were flirting with women, and there was this very attractive woman who had kind of Rob who was talking to, and he asked for her phone number, and she was going to give him his phone her phone number, and he asked me to borrow a pen, because I have a pen with me most of the time, and a piece of paper. And he takes the pen and the paper, and she recites the phone number, and Rob pretends to write it down. He writes nothing on the piece of paper, and folds it up, puts it in his pocket, hands it back to the pen, and says he's going to call her. She goes away, and I go, Rob, you didn't write anything down. He goes, yeah, I know. This is my Rob Pike impersonation. Yeah, I know, but I have never forgotten a number, ever. And so when she gives me that number, I'm going to remember it the rest of my life. So I don't need to write it down. But if I don't write it down, then she either thinks I'm blowing her off and I'm not going to call her and appears rude, or she says, what are you, some kind of idiot savant? And then I have to explain to her that you don't have to be an idiot to remember numbers. And then she says, what are you, some sort of geek freako? And then I have to explain that I work at Bell Labs and I am a geek freako. And it all goes really bad, and the music playing is very, very difficult. So it's much easier to pretend I'm writing down a number. That's the level of smart Rob is. And Rob's also the level of smart. The same thing with all the other people on the list, Bob Korn Revere and Hitchens and Dawkins and LOD. Can you believe you're in that company, LOD? is when they're explaining something to me, I understand it completely. It's crystal clear. Uh-huh. Like Rob was talking to me about how you could use subatomic particles to do a computer, so you could have an entire computer into one molecule of water. He was explaining that to me, you know, and how it has to be...
a quantum computer.
Yeah, it can't be binary. It has to be tertiary, and there's three states, and it's at a distance. And I understood it. I mean, I at that moment when he was talking to me, I could have built the computer. And then he gets up. We're at a restaurant. He gets up to go to the restroom. I'm sitting there alone, and I try to run through my head what he's told me, and I realize I know nothing about it. I don't even remember the word quantum. You know, I don't even remember. I barely remember it's three instead of two. You know, no idea. It's so clear to me at the time they're talking, and then it just fades away. And that's what it's like to be, you know, to not be as smart as all the people you're hanging out with. It's like if you're playing basketball and you're 5'6", and you learn, like, all how to jump and how to do. See, now what I'm doing is I'm trying to use a basketball metaphor. I don't even know. And I was going to use an example of a tall basketball player and realize I didn't even know. I guess Shaq. Shaq's tall. And we worked with Shaq, and Shaq's a great guy. But Shaq could not explain quantum computing to you. I guarantee you. Even when
well, neither
he was,
can you.
Neither can I. So
they use that as any sort of scale.
No, but it's amazing to have people around you. My goal when I was in high school was to be surrounded by all people who were smarter than me. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, that was an easy goal to obtain. But Lawrence O'Donnell's article on good lobbyists in the LA Times is just brilliant, like LOD always is. And we got more to talk about. There's a show called God or the Girl, which was also produced by
Wolper,
who's our producer on Penn and Teller's BS. I want to talk about that a little bit. We'll get some phone calls. A guy called in, and we're not going to take it right now because we have to go to a break, but a guy called in and wants to know how to make the Siberian chain escape more interesting. And that's the escape that Houdini did with all the chains.
Right.
And my suggestion is make it interesting the same way Houdini did, and that is do it nude. One of the first performers to work nude, to have people check everywhere on me for lockpicks. No, check there, too. No, really, check there, too. That was Houdini's shtick on the Siberian chain escape,
wow.
I think. Or maybe I made it up. We have one simple objective, to get through this show. This is Penn Jillette sending kisses out to LOD. Michael Goudeau's here, too. We're going to be back on the free FM. If it's not free, you don't need it. One simple objective. here at Vintage Dude Studios in Las Vegas.
Remember that phrase.
Remember that phrase? Tonight. We're going to do the bit tonight again.
Again?
Again, we're going to do it tonight. Again,
boy, Monday
is
going to be good stories.
We'll be doing it. We'll have done it three more times. People tune in on Monday. If you want to write us email, because we get to Gmail much more than we get to phones. So
yeah.
It's Penn Radio, PennRadio, @gmail.com. Or, and if you want to tell people, because next week we're going to be giving stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
Next week the Aristocrats DVD comes out.
Uh-huh.
Actually, the week after it comes out. But before it comes out, I'm going to give away.
Giving it away early?
A bunch of them. Like a way bunch of them. So,
wait,
can
I get one?
Yeah, you might get one. I mean, I have a ton of them. I have a ton of them to give away.
Wow.
And, I mean, I get a lot because I'm one of the creators.
Right, sure. You worked on it.
And my friends all come over to my house to see it, so I don't need to give away that many copies. So I'm going to give them away to people I believe are my new friends on Free FM.
Okay.
So, you know, be writing in Gmails, penradio @gmail.com. If you have friends that are just nuts for filthy jokes and fabulous comedians, which go together wonderfully, tell them to listen on penradio.com or to listen to their local radio station for our show. We're going to be giving away stuff next week. Lots of stuff. You know, there's this show, Wolper, who is our producer on Penn & Teller BS on Showtime, which will be starting up again in March. He's got a show on called God or the Girl. And he pitched this to me last year. We were working on when we were working on BS,
uh-huh,
about how he wanted to get, what did he get, like a bunch of seminary students
and exposes them to scantily dressed women.
And then tries to,
I haven't seen it, but
tries to tempt them with the sins of the flesh while they're going toward
Wolper
God.
Wolper is the devil.
But you know, this is the problem. You know, I am not an atheist because of the culture. You know, I'm not an atheist because atheist culture is groovy to me, okay? I am an atheist because there is no God.
Sure.
Okay? That's my reason. And those are two distinct reasons. And there's this thing among atheists that's very widespread and that troubles me. And that is that they think that hypocrisy is the argument against God. They think that because, you know, fools who are in the media, like Pat Robertson, say nutty stuff and then go back on it. You know, God told me this, but God was just kidding.
Yeah, I didn't hear him clearly. That God accent. Where's he from anyway?
He's just a dirtball. And they're atheists at that level. Yeah, Robertson and God.
He's apparently mumbling.
And the fact that he's so consumed with hatred that when a man has a stroke, he says, you know, it was caused because he had made political decisions I don't agree with. And also, what kind of God does that postulate? It postulates a God whose best power is a stroke? Why not something like lightning? Why not something like...
Yeah.
And their answer is always, God works in mysterious ways, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is the biggest cop-out of all time. If I can keep score in mysterious ways, I will golf against Tiger Woods. I will golf against Tiger Woods. If Penn keeps score in mysterious ways, I can do that. But a lot of atheists, which I believe Wolper is, but I'm not going to speak for him, but a lot of atheists have this point of view that religious people are all hedonists who just pretend to believe in God.
Right.
And I'm never for busting hypocrisy. Hypocrisy to me means that whoever I'm accusing of being full of hypocrisy is right on half the stuff. Like when a guy goes with a hooker who claims to be celibate with God, well, I say, going with a hook is a good idea. That's a cool thing to do. I'm behind that. So I back him the way I would back anybody that's doing that. But I don't think that people have religious beliefs that can be shaken by a lap dance. I don't think that that if you go to the Amish and actually give them a chance, isn't that thing called Hell Night where they actually send them out?
Yeah,
and
they do.
They can like shoot heroin and stuff, and they come back to the. I really believe that people who are religious have a conscience and have believed it, and they're not going to be shaken.
They're not kidding.
You know, it's not like if you say, I mean, that's so insulting. Because if you said to me, you know, Penn, you're an atheist, you've been an atheist your whole life. Look at this. There are nuns. And they're flashing you. And you can go over there, but all you've got to do is say there's a God and you can have sex with these nuns. You'd be like, drop dead. Who are you? You know? And I really dislike the hatred that gets sucked into this whole thing. Like atheists going, you know, 345 pilgrims were killed going to Mecca.
Yeah,
isn't that that stupid? Isn't that stupid? Those people are not stupid. And the people who were crushed going to Mecca, whose fault is that? It's not the fault of the people leaving their luggage and running, you know, to try to stone a wall that represents a devil.
Yeah, sure.
It's not their fault. It's all of our faults. It's the fault of all the people that kind of go, well, whatever religion you have, it's okay. The cool thing about evangelical Christians and strong believers of all types, Islam, Judaism less so, because it's not a proselytizing religion. I guess Islam isn't either. But the people who are outspoken in their beliefs, mm-hmm. is that at least they're having the dialogue. At least they're saying it. You know, if you had those pilgrims more exposed to people who said, you're throwing rocks at a wall. Don't do that. Let them see other ways. I mean, this is the thing that Dawkins always points out. People are religious based on geography.
Right.
You know, it's not like in science.
You didn't pick the best songs. You picked it because your parents.
Exactly. Exactly.
Were of that,
you know,
religion.
And that's the part. I think that instantly, if you're religious, that's the thing you have to answer. If you are from Nebraska, okay, and you are a Christian, my question to you is very simple. If you were living in Pakistan, would you still be the exact same Christian you are? And then there's the answer of many paths to God. But of course, this God or the girl thing, which is Wolper's show, and we like Wolper, and maybe it's a great show, I don't know. But it's based on this faulty premise. You know, one of the things he was going to do...
Apparently it does have cute girls on it.
Really? Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. And cute girls what? Aren't pregnant, right? Did you see that article in the paper today?
Yeah.
There's a soap opera star in L.A. who was suing, was it CBS? Maybe it's CBS.
I don't think it was CBS.
Yeah, all television, all media is CBS to us. She's suing some company because... she thinks she was fired because she was pregnant. They consider that less attractive. Would someone please tell her that she got the job because she was more attractive? I mean, you've got a job. If you're playing basketball, I'm going to use basketball again for an example because I'm so hip to the sports thing. If you're a basketball player, you know, and all of a sudden you're 5'2 instead of, you know, 6'8.
Right.
You
probably lose your job. Yeah.
You can't go to them and say, you know, you guys are hung up on height. This is all a height thing with you, isn't it? And you go, well, it's height, but it's also how well you play basketball. But yeah, height often ends in it. She got the job because she's a piece of ass.
It's a soap opera.
And
that's,
for that particular job, you know, they don't want...
Perhaps
it's also
be, perhaps be
let's even get away from that. I've done the whole wrong argument. Back up. Forget everything I said. Back to LOD being
okay.
A genius.
We weren't on the air.
Back up. Oh, good, good. Here's what I want to say. She is playing the part of a character.
Yeah.
She is acting as though she was a character.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's pregnant, and the character is not. End of story. Okay? If you are playing in the Jim Thorpe story, okay,
uh-huh.
and you lose both your legs, why do you use Jim Thorpe as an example? The only athlete. If you're playing in the Lance Armstrong, they're making a movie
right.
about Lance Armstrong. I mean, they're not.
Well,
I don't know if they are.
Of course they are.
Of course they are. If they're making a movie about Lance Armstrong, and you've got the part, and you're going to play the part of Lance, and then you lose both your legs. Not that being pregnant is like losing your legs, because being pregnant is a joyous thing, and losing your legs can be a bummer. I'm saying can be a bummer, because there's probably a group of people who don't have legs that want to foster the pride, and they should. If you saw Murder Ball, the guys zip around those wheelchairs, it's really cool, it's really boss. But for the people making the movie of Lance Armstrong, okay, if you don't have legs... you know, maybe you're a less good choice. Maybe they do fire you and hire someone else.
They're not going to hire me to play Lance. I'm a little tubby. You know what I mean? I didn't get the part because I don't look that much like Lance Armstrong.
Exactly. And if you got pregnant, it'd be a lot of press. But on top of that, you might not even have your part as a juggler because maybe the juggler in the Lance Burton show isn't pregnant. And also, being pregnant, having a baby, I mean, I can't say being pregnant because being pregnant... for my wife, was just, she loved it, and giving birth, she just loved. But many women, it's a huge, torturous, terrible thing. But having a child is such a beautiful thing. So, you know, you can get off a soap opera to have a child. Now, of course, she has to make money to support the child.
Right.
And all I'm trying to say is it gets ridiculous when you can sue. And then they're making rules for Walmart to have to pay insurance. They shouldn't do that. Why can't the free market? What's the next law? The next law is going to be they have to make the Home Depot orange aprons more attractive.
That's right.
that's the next rule.
That is the next rule, actually.
Get that law in there. Get that law in there. Now, I did get a little bit off the subject. I was on Girl.
God of the Girl.
And you said there were very cute girls on there.
Apparently.
And I guess, you know, if you want to watch that, that's a whole problem. Naomi Wolf, you know, who did the beauty myth.
Right.
She did this really jive book about how, good-looking people do well. And she was on some talk show with a bunch of women models.
Right.
Okay. And they were going to argue about this. And one of the models that was on with her said to the after that they couldn't get into the makeup chair. Because Naomi Wolf, who is telling you can't judge people based on their looks, was spending so much time. Of course, that's also not fair because Naomi Wolf was saying that our culture celebrates beauty more than it should. And if that's true, she's living in the culture. She has to go on and do that. But let me see. Let's recap today. Simple objective is the phrase I have to learn.
Have to
learn that phrase.
Write it on your arm.
Right. We're going to be giving away stuff next week. So it's penradio.com and penradio@gmail.com. Write in, be in touch. The 345 pilgrims, it's not entirely their fault. I like individual responsibility, but these people, they needs to be, if you're skeptical about, don't sit around and go, well, I believe this, but that's fine to believe. Let's have what this country had in the 19th century. Let's
talk
have a discussion.
About what you believe.
It's all our fault. God or the girl, do not show disrespect for religious people. They really do believe it. And people like Pat Robertson don't speak for
they
the religious in this country any more than Ann Coulter speaks for the conservatives. If you listen to Ann Coulter, you think conservatives are raving lunatics. I am not a conservative. I don't agree with them. But Ann Coulter is a self-made straw man. That's what we're doing here. We're creating straw men that take... Janine Garofalo made a career decision to be a left-wing whack job because that was going to be her job. So then she says nutty
She's
stuff.
Selling tickets.
She says nutty stuff, and then Ann Coulter says nutty stuff, and then we tend to think that those are the real arguments. The real arguments are from your friends and your neighbors. Don't listen to us. Don't listen to anybody. What else do you want to recap today? Oh, there's no God. Did we cover that?
Yeah, and the new trick. You screwed up the new trick. Let's not forget to recap that.
Okay, now which is more important to America? The fact that there is no God, no supreme power, no higher power, no God that listens to prayers, or the fact that I happen to make one mistake that anyone could have made on stage.
Why do you ask me questions you know the answer to?
one simple faux pas.
It's clear.
What's clear?
Well, which one's more important?
It seems like we're going out early.
It.
Is that right? We're going out early, Travis? Did you start the music too early? I think you started the music too early. I think we have another like minute, don't we? I thought we had another minute. Are we? I think so. I think we have another minute, and Travis is just sick of the discussion. So bring the music out. You're just
Maybe
wrong.
He loves the
you're
song.
You're just wrong. Of course we love the song. We all love the song. But because I was hitting a cadence, I was hitting this wrap-up.
Sounded like you were done. You were asking the big questions.
It's like the Monty Python thing where he keeps starting to go into the song. You know? And Travis just heard us. You know, there's a clock in front of him. There's a clock that's bigger than his head. It's in front of him he's looking at. But I hit, you know, maybe I was going to go back to how to make the Siberian chain.
What were the keywords?
Wait for the
Q word problem.
It's the Q word thing you want to wait
guys.
For. When I say the Q word, then we hit the music, okay? That's all you have to remember when you hear the Q. And Travis is our same guy. He does the show. He does the show last night.
What's
he knows
word?
What the Q words are. He knows what they are.
It's
and when I
up?
Say those Q words, that's when we go to music. That is your one simple objective. Where's the music?
He missed it.
I wish I were
EFN. 106.7 WJFK.